Now, wait a minute. I'm the elder that can't hear, so you're going to have to speak louder than that. Yes. Well, how do they do that? Do they have evidence that they go by? Okay. So anyway, that's what a grand jury does. They see if there's enough evidence to bring that particular individual or individuals to a courtroom to be prosecuted or, you know, to be tried. The grand jury of heaven has been in session and returned this verdict. James 5, 1 through 6. Caught you off guard, Larry.
Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter.
All right, so the first indictment is your silver and gold are rusted and your garments are moth-eaten. What a scene at the day of judgment. You're standing before God, and there at your feet is what you've accumulated in a rust pile. The clothes have holes in them from being moth-eaten. God asks you, what is this pile of rust? You have no answer. You have to answer that this is what you spent your money and time on. When I think of a pile of rust, I get this picture. I'd like to look at countryside. And probably many of you have seen this, a tractor out in the field that is rusted, the tires are deflated, and nothing but a pile of rust. It used to work, but now it doesn't. It's been neglected, and it's good for nothing any longer. You have a pile of rust. It doesn't run anymore, doesn't do anything. It was at one time a good piece of equipment. You used it. You paid for it. But now you've neglected it. Another picture I have is a car that's rusted. Growing up in Ohio, when I was younger, more so than now, you see cars that were pretty rusty. And from those folks who are up north, why is that? Salt, exactly. What they use salt for? Just like they do here. They put it on the roads to melt the snow. Have a little more snow there than they do here. So I think of this also. I think of the rusted cars that are there. I can picture both of these on the day of judgment when God says, what is this? This is what I worked for. This is what I spent my money on. You think God's going to be happy with that? The car you're driving out there now, will it last? No. This reminds me of Luke 16, 19 to 25. Can I get someone to read that for me? Luke 16, 19 through 25.
Died.
Okay? So the rich man was dressed in fine clothes, right? And he did well for himself on earth. What does most of the people in this world think about someone like that? They have a nice new car. They have a nice house. They wear the finest of clothes. What do they think of? Success. They've been successful on earth. Is that wrong to have that? No. It's what you do with it, though, isn't it? It's what you do with that money that you have. He didn't lay up treasures in heaven, did he? Rich man didn't. But Lazarus did. And we can see the difference, what happened on that day of judgment. This is what I'm just trying to get into our heads tonight, of what are we doing with our money and our time? Are we trying to strive to make it here on earth? Are we striving to make it to heaven and live much better up there than we ever could here? Let's turn to Luke 16. I'm just going to go through some of these a little bit tonight, so hope you don't mind reading scriptures. I don't. Luke 12, 16 through 20. Johnny, can you read that for me? Yes.
Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?
All right, according to man's eyes, this was a very successful person also, wasn't he? He laid up things on the earth. But he didn't lay up anything in heaven, did he? Nothing. Luke 12:21 goes on to say, so he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let us be careful that we are not laying up things for ourselves. God wants us to use what he has given us to help others to get to heaven and help others here on earth. I have to think about the words of Solomon. If we look at Ecclesiastes 1, 2 through 3, Solomon says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man for all his labor in which he toils under the sun? What does vanity mean? Bill, what does vanity mean? Okay. Anybody else have anything? Nothing. An emptiness, right? Worthlessness. Utility. When applied to a person, it means, like we said, emptiness or futility of natural human life. Not worth anything. So, just think of all the things that Solomon had at that time. And this is what he comes down to. It's all vanity. It's worthless. It doesn't do anything for us. And that's something that the world doesn't want us to think about. The world wants us to think about, well, we have to do the best we can and make the most money we can. But that's just not what God has in mind for us at all. I'm going to read a couple more from Solomon. Ecclesiastes 2:1. Says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. And again, Ecclesiastes 4:4. Again, I saw that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. One more, Ecclesiastes 1:10. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. Solomon realized that accumulating his wealth is nothing more than a waste of time and effort. He didn't use it all to glorify God, did he? How about us today? Are we spending more time accumulating our wealth on earth than we are our wealth in heaven? How are we spending our money? Do you ever think, do you keep track of where your money goes? I'll tell you what you do. Over the next month, write down what you spend your money on, because that's where your heart is. Think about that. Are you working 7 days a week to get ahead in life? Are we able to serve God and do His will if we devote all our time to work? One of the questions I always ask, are you living to work or are you working to live? I hope you're living to work. I'm sorry. Scratch that. I hope you're working to live and not living to work. John 12:48 says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day." You know, the world today thinks that, well, your neighbor has a new car, you need to have a new car. Or you took a nice vacation to wherever. Well, I need to go there too then. But is that what God wants us to do with our money? I'm thinking about this pile of rust that we're standing in front of on Judgment Day. This is what I did with my money, God. Is that going to work? Not at all. You guys, if you have any comments, please comment. You know, on the day of judgment, we're going to be held accountable for what we do with our money and our time. Have we used our money and time to help the poor and tell those around us about Jesus and how He died so that we could all go to heaven? As it says in John 12:48, His word judges Him. Well, let me ask you this. How do you keep silver and gold from rusting? How do you keep silver and gold from rusting? Do you have any silver platters or things like that at your house? What happens to that? It tarnishes, doesn't it? It tarnishes because you don't use it, doesn't it? Are we using what we have? Let's read Matthew 25:14-30. Can I have somebody read that for me? Matthew 25:14-30.
Received the five times.
So, to keep our gold and silver from rusting, we have to use what's given to us, don't we? We have to be using our money for what the Lord wants us to use it for. What was verse 30? He cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. An unprofitable servant. Are you unprofitable with your time and your money as far as the Lord thinks you are? Just some things to think about a little bit tonight. I just want us to make sure that we don't fall into this, because it's very easy in the world today to keep your money to yourself and not use it for what the Lord wants you to use it for. Another question. Is my money really mine? What? No, it isn't, is it? How do we know that? Well, let's turn to Haggai 2:8. Can somebody read that for me? Haggai 2:8 and Psalms 24:1. Haggai 2, verse 8, and Psalms 24:1. Psalms 24:1. So, do we own anything? No, we don't own anything whatsoever. You own your house, your car? No. Is the money in our savings and checking account ours? No. These two verses we just read show that we don't own anything, and God owns it all. We are to be stewards of everything He gives us, though. And that's the point I'm trying to make tonight, being good stewards of what has been given to us. God's entrusted all these things we have and to use in our care. How are we using them? How are we using what God has given us? Are we using them for what the world wants us to use them for, or are we using them for what God wants us to use it for? How many times have we heard, this is my money and I'm going to spend it the way I want to? We will be held accountable for thinking about that on that judgment day. It's not our money. It's God's money, and He doesn't need it. Imagine some of you older folks, and I'm getting up there, you think, and maybe that happens today, I don't know. I'm not a farmer. Never lived on a farm. Aunts and uncles did farms, but that wasn't me. But just think of someone living on, a tenant living on someone's farm, and they're paid to take care of the land, the cattle, the timber, and all the other property. When the time comes around to give them a count, he brings a basket of potatoes, sets it on the porch, waves at him, says, what a good guy. Do you think the owner is happy with that? Are we doing that with God? We're giving Him very little of what He's given us to use. So this tenant, to me, is not a good steward of what God's given him. A good steward is able and willing to open his books to the owner at any time for inspection. Are we willing to open our books for God at any time and let Him see how we're spending and using His money, His time, His property? Are we able to do that with a clear conscience? I'd say if we're not, then we need to get our lives in order and strive to do that. Because on the day of judgment, we don't want a pile of rust in front of us that we have to account for. There's a few ways to corrupt riches. I'm going to go through three of them. We can corrupt them by unholy ways in which we get them. All the money that a man accumulates in a dishonest way will be held against him on that day of judgment. Look at Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." And also 1 Timothy 6:10 says, as we have read before, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some astray from the faith and the greediness and pierce themselves through with many sorrows." So how are we earning a living? Is it respectable? Do we have anything that we're going on the table getting paid? Are we stealing from people? Need to think about that. You know, is that something that God, you want God to know? I hate to tell you this, God knows it already. You can't hide anything from God. Would you invite God to your place of business and see how you're conducting yourself, what you're selling, what you're doing? Are we accountable like that? We need to be. We shouldn't have anything to hide whatsoever. Nothing. Because as I said, God already knows it anyway. You're not hiding from him. You're just going to dig yourself a hole come the day of judgment, and that's what we don't want to do. We don't want that pile of wealth in front of us to account for. We want you putting those riches in heaven. Going back to Ephesians 4:28, we're to work with our hands what is good. Work with our hands what is good. All right, another way we can corrupt riches, we can corrupt them by laying up for ourselves. Somebody read 1 Timothy 6:17 and Colossians 3:1 through 2. 1 Timothy 6:17 and Colossians 3:1 through 2. Colossians 3:1 and 2.
"Then you were raised with Christ, and those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth."
Our Lord taught that where a man's treasures are, there will his heart be also. We should desire to make money that we may lay it up in heaven. We lay it up in heaven by using it for the glory of God. Every dollar we give to support the gospel, orphans, Christian education, and other good works is a dollar laid up in heaven. Are we doing that with our money? This is kind of a self-examination night. Are we doing that? And I'm pointing at me too. Are we doing that with our money? Do we really think this is going to happen on the day of judgment? I think it will. I'm pretty sure it will. Matter of fact, I know it will. God said it will. Another way we can corrupt our riches is putting them to a vile use. There's two ways of doing this. By spending our money for things that are sinful within themselves. If you were to give 50%, 75%, 99% of your income to the Lord, are you still able to use that 1% for something that wasn't good? No. You're accountable for that 1% also, aren't you? We're not supposed to be using anything that is not for the good. God's going to hold us accountable for 100% of what we have. Everything that we have is to be used in an honorable way. Again, we must stand on the day of judgment and give an account to God for all that we own in this world. We need to think before we give money to someone how it's going to be used. I don't know about you, but where I work, sometimes they have denominations will come along and they'll, you know, have a barbecue plate or a chicken plate or something like that for money. And I have to say no. Why? Because I know what that money is going for. It's going for a teaching which is against the Bible. Anything that goes like that, you have to think about it. Where's your money going when you're giving to whatever charity, whatever? Is it going to help glorify God? To help people? Or is it going to spread false doctrine? We need to think about that. Another way we may sin in regard to our money is to refuse to use it. Many people will no doubt be lost for this reason than all the others.
Churches will too.
Churches will too, exactly. If we don't use our money to glorify God and spread the word, we'll be held accountable. Exactly. The very thing James was talking about in James 5, 1 through 6, if we refuse to give to the Lord's work while we have the opportunity, it will be of the judgment to witness against us. The one talent man was not cast out for misusing his money, was he? He was cast out because he didn't use it at all. Are we using our money? Are we using our money wisely? How many will be condemned at the judgment for not using their money for the glory of God? We can't excuse ourselves by saying we're not rich. This was a mistake of the one talent man. We're rich to no end in this congregation, in this land. Go to other countries and see how they live. I can remember we had gone to Jamaica one time, and out as we were going out away from where we were staying was just a field with boxes, and that's where the people lived, in those boxes. And I was just like, wow, that's pretty poor when you live in a box. I mean, we're talking a box like this. There was just a whole bunch of them. Are we rich? Yes. Oh. Chad? That's where we need to research where our money does go, isn't it? Does it mean a little work for us? Yeah, it does. You know, our government is spending money in ways that I don't want our money spent. But we're taxed, and that tax money is being used for things that the Lord does not think is right. And the only thing we can do is talk to our politicians and try to persuade them not to spend this money. And as a voice, we have to be a large voice to get this change, because it seems like in this country, the small voice gets to change the direction of where we go. It's not the large voice. We have to be the larger voice. Let's look at 2 Kings 5, 16 through 17. This is about the sinfulness of greed. Don't be greedy. Would somebody like to read that? 1 Kings 5, 16 through 27 for me. I'm sorry, 2 Kings 5, 16 through 27.
Not, please let your servant be given 2 mules.
Gehazi was greedy, wasn't he? He didn't think that Elisha should not get something in his own mind from Naaman, who he had just healed from leprosy. He was wanting something for himself, though, wasn't he? He was being greedy. That's something that we should never be, as greedy. It didn't work out real well for Gehazi, did it? So the leprosy went from Naaman to Gehazi and his descendants. He didn't think he'd be caught. But then again, Elisha was a prophet, was he not? God's watching on how we obtain things. Greed is not something he tolerates. Luke 11:39 says, "But the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and clean and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness." How are we doing with this? How are our hearts? Are they clean? Are we trying to make the outside of us clean, but the inside is not? Let's not be greedy. Greedy just didn't work out too well for these folks. Didn't work out too well for Achan also. Let's turn to Joshua 7:20-26. Joshua 7:20-26. Somebody like to read that for me? God doesn't tolerate greed at all. What we read about God in the Old Testament, how he thinks about things, has that changed in the New Testament? No, it hasn't. The Old Testament just brings out a little bit more about how God thinks about different things, maybe than the New Testament, more focused on Jesus. But then again, we see more examples to me in the Old Testament about what God thinks about. And what God thinks about greed, he doesn't like it whatsoever. Didn't work out too well for Achan, did it? Didn't work out well at all. Any comments? Because he was greedy. He brought stuff back that he wasn't supposed to. Bill? He just doesn't deal with it quite the same way right now as he did in the Old Testament, did he? I mean, we don't hear of any people getting stoned lately. But that doesn't make it any more right with God. How's he?
The other person that came to mind is Saul. You know, he didn't
Exactly. Dottie? Sure, with an attitude. Robert, do you have something? That's what it comes down to, is love. Are we loving our neighbors, our fellow Christians? How are we treating them? Are we showing them our love? Well, thank you for your attention. It looks like our time is up.